quite didn't know that. Thank you.
Member who has come, and we've now received three more members, or four more members. We just need three more members, if we can just be assisted with three more members. I do have three apologies. Apparently those apologies do not count in this. Does not count.
Thank you.
Members of it, is there plenary next week? Next week, Friday. Honorable Ruby, I saw Comrade Michael. Is Mike, is he here? Thank you, Honourable Member, for coming. Honourable Pam, are you the only one? Nobody came with you. You don't know anybody who's around, any members who are around Parliament here.
Well, I met one member
of Parliament.
Also
coming.
I
think
he's
going to come
as well. Yes. I think we need another one.
Just three more.
Three more.
Just three more members.
We need to. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
I think we can ask Mrs. Ramsla to proceed with her briefing, but then the problem is then we're going to have to interfere, you know, when members come in, then we'll have to just stop for a few minutes to see a doctor's report thing. Mrs. Ramsla, you can tell us if we have the documents ready, then I think we can. Okay, here's another two members. Okay, let me finish. Then okay. Thank you, honourable members. The JMT just needs to adopt our annual report from January to November 2006. We did go through the report and there were seen no comments, no changes, so we just need an adoption, please, and then a seconder so we can get this over and done with. Honourable Elizabeth, it's accepted.
I move for adoption.
You move for adoption. Thank you, Honourable Elizabeth. And then seconded by the Honourable Gamedi. Am I correct? Thank you very much. Members, that report is being adopted from the 2006 annual report of the committee. I second the report, members. Just one more, one more. I know that you want to leave. Members who came in, if you could just sign the register for us, that we just need record of that, please. That is what we need. Then we do have another report. It is our program that for this term. It needs just to be adopted. This is the program of the JMC. Honourable Andrew. Thank you, Honourable Andrew. We need a seconder. Honourable Chalmers has seconded the proposal, so this report has been adopted. So, thank you very much, Honourable Members, who came in to help us with the adoption of this report. Thank you very much. You welcome back more. Just sign the register. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much, members.
So that was basically students, lots of students who work there.
Yeah,
it's not really a stable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, they pay news for every meeting, so when Parliament goes into recess, then you have to go and find another job.
Thank you, honourable members, for that. And thank you, Mrs. Ransla, for your questions. Mrs. Ransla will brief us, and there's four documents, members, that should be in front of us. Mrs. Ransla, you can maybe just take us through each document, tell us which documents you will be busy on with. I know there was a confusion with documents last week, but if you can just go through and then do your presentation. So welcome to you again, and then thank you very much for your patience. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. We have since sent four documents through to Parliament, and these are the following documents. The National Children's Rights Programme and its 3-year sectoral strategy, that's the first document. The second document is the ORC specific.
Okay, if you just mind, just going a little bit slow for me, I just need to concentrate on the interpreters. Thanks.
Okay, that was the first document, Chair. The second document is the ORC specific strategy, which is on a landscape format. The third document is the ORC's year-end report. Uh-huh. And the last document is the Children's Rights Delivery Guide for Municipalities. Okay, thank you for inviting us again as ORC to come and brief the Parliament. We are happy to come and do this because each time we are requested to come and brief the Portfolio Committee, it presents an opportunity for us to reflect on our own performance and also to see if we are doing well in terms of what we are supposed to be doing. So we are happy to be here. My three colleagues, the three deputy directors in the ORC, were not able to accompany me today because they already had commitments. One is with training with municipalities in the Northwest. The other is busy on a report to the UN. And my other colleague, the deputy director, is off sick today. So this is why I'm here on my own. But a good thing is that we were requested as ORC to come and brief the Portfolio Committee on the ORC strategy plan, as well as the ORC's budget for 2007-2008. I will use the four documents to do the briefing, and I will start with the National Children's Rights Program and its 3-year sectoral strategy plan. On page 4 of that document, maybe just to explain, Chair, that this strategy, we call it the sectoral strategy plan because this is where the children's rights sector, and by the children's rights sector, Chair, we mean people who work with children's rights issues in government and our colleagues who work with children's rights issues in organs of civil society. This is where we come together in a forum that we call the National Children's Rights Advisory Council. And in that National Children's Rights Advisory Council, we take decisions as a sector that we believe are binding to all of us. And decisions that enable us when we go back into our individual areas of operation to then take from decisions broadly taken and contextualize those decisions within our areas of operation. And that's why we then call them call this document the sectoral strategy plan. Now, just to say on page 4, in terms of our understanding as the sector, or the National Children's Rights Advisory Council, the key component parts of our National Children's Rights Program are the following, as listed in this document. Parliament for obvious reasons, because it has to exercise oversight in terms of children's rights delivery in government. Specifically within Parliament, the Joint Monitoring Committee on Improvement of Quality of Life and Status of Children, Youth and People with Disabilities. We also then have in the government sector, Minister Pahad responsible for women, children and youth and people with disabilities. And also within that context, ORC. We find that Minister Pahad works primarily with Parliament, even though, yes, also with the Joint Monitoring Committee, but ORC tends to work more with the Joint Monitoring Committee in that sense. We then have the National Children's Rights Advisory Council, which, as I indicated, is composed of organs of civil society and government structures. The national ministers, each in their line function departments, have responsibilities in terms of children's rights delivery. And within the ministries, we find departmental children's rights focal points. And we also find that the departmental children's rights focal points have a responsibility to work closely with organs of civil society. They would have partner with organs of civil society in different ways. Within departments, in the area of departments, we find that the departments tend to also have children's rights advisory council themselves, which is where the department itself must have, simply because of the issues that that line function deals with, has NGOs that it works very closely with and that it consults with periodically. At provincial level, in the Premier's office, the Premier as the head of the province is responsible for children's rights delivery in the province. And within that context, ORC is based in the Premier's offices and the organizations that they work with. Also, SALGA is very important at the three spheres of government, right through from ORC's level, ORC presidency's level, to ORC municipality level. Provincial ORCs also have provincial children's rights advisory councils, also composed within the province of organs of civil society and government structure. At the municipality level, the mayor is responsible for delivery on children's rights at local government level. Within that context, the municipality ORC, as I indicated in my last meeting, in the portfolio committee here, increasingly we are seeing ORCs in municipalities. We still have a lot of work to do as a country in this area, but we are happy with the progress that we are making in that regard. The municipality ORCs also work very closely with their own local children's rights advisory council, and at local government level, we see also structures of children themselves at all, that the local government must work with, simply because children are located in municipalities. But we also insist as a sector that the provinces, when they do provincial children's rights processes, would also consult and work with children themselves. Similarly, ORC National, when we are busy with national processes on children's rights, our principle in terms of working is that we create space to then consult with children and work with children around whatever issue it is that we are dealing with at that point in time. So, as the National Children's Rights Advisory Council, we agreed that these are the key component parts of the National Children's Rights Program, and in that meeting of the National Children's Rights Advisory Council also sits ORCs from the provinces and from municipalities. So we were all there when we agreed this particular strategy. On page 6 of this document, we struggled around our broad vision as a sector in terms of where we would like to see South Africa at in relation to children's rights delivery moving forward. We based page 6 looks at broad vision and mission of government. The sector based our strategic plan on the broad vision and mission of government, because we felt it is important to strengthen what government is doing and make certain that in making our contribution from different parts of the sector, we are then able to strengthen impact in terms of children's rights delivery in the country. We also base our work and our decisions on the national strategic objectives and national priorities. On page 8 of the same document, this is where the sector then specifically looked at our own mandate as the National Children's Rights Program within the context of the National Strategic Objectives, Government Priorities, or National Priorities and Government Priorities. We said the overall mandate of the National Children's Program is to deliver on the constitutional mandate on children. Now, to deliver on the constitutional mandate on children in this country needs all of us to be working in different parts to be able to do to achieve that. Health must do what health must do, education what education must do, NGOs and CDOs supporting departments in different sessions, and in some instances, NGOs and CDOs filling in gaps, coming up with new initiatives that perhaps government has not even begun to look at, and in that sense, test out models that then ultimately are shared with government and with the intention most of the time to build on working models and best practice so that we strengthen children's rights delivery in the country. In terms of vision, collectively we said our vision is efficient and sustainable protection and development of children in South Africa. So we in protecting and developing or working towards sustainable and efficient protection and development of children in this country, necessarily we would all have to do certain and specific things in our different areas of work. In terms of mission, as a sector, collectively we said, our mission is to provide strategic support to the South African government, to organs of civil society, and children themselves towards the realization of the constitutional, regional, and international mandate. Now, in doing this, it then makes it imperative for us, for ORC, to look at what it must do within its context, but also for a department to look at what it must do within its context, and municipalities similarly, and NGOs similarly. Our strategic objective we outlined as the following: to strengthen strategic children's rights management and leadership capabilities at all spheres of our society. 2, to improve management, access, and sharing of children's rights-related information collectively, and we would do it in different ways in different spheres of our work. To coordinate, monitor, evaluate, and facilitate the communication of children's rights policies and programs. To foster desired citizenship principles among children and thereby establish a good foundation for national prosperity. This, Chairperson and honorable members, was prompted by the fact that we acknowledge as a sector that increasingly we see in our country children who do not seem to be rooted in terms of their national identity and who in many ways alienate adults in different ways. And we felt that the responsibility, not actually perhaps the responsibility indeed is on adults, but mainly on the sector, because if we as a sector had put in place character building and citizenship programs and made them to work and work efficiently, we would see increasingly see a different type of child emerging from our society. Because we did not put those programs in place, what we see are children who take from what they see on TV, what they see from their peers in different areas, and from that base then construct for themselves what they believe is good behavior, is good conduct. And this is why the sector then said, no, we have to stop and create these programs that are going to help our children to grow into the kind of citizen who will indeed enable us to be a prosperous nation long term. We also collectively agreed that strategic objective is also to enhance integrated policy implementation for accelerated delivery on the constitutional mandate. We seek to facilitate, support, and consolidate children's rights initiatives towards a better Africa and better world. We also realize that increasingly there is movement within the continent, between countries within the continent. And it is important for us, therefore, not to only look at what our work in the context of South Africa, but to see how we can link up and reach out to our colleagues in the region, in different parts of Africa, and how we begin to strengthen each other as countries, as AU member states, around children's rights delivery on the continent. Lastly, we said as collectively our objective would be to ensure that opportunities that derive from economic growth and second economy initiatives strengthen child protection and development in South Africa. In this context, we were then saying to ourselves, as the children's rights sector, we should not look at important programs like ASGISA and say, ooh, they are all about economic development, where do we feature as a sector? We thought and agreed that it is important for us to engage those processes and identify opportunities within those processes that would help us to strengthen child protection in our country and also child development in our country. On page 9 like everybody else in the country, our sector also believes that it is important to base our conduct when we do work in our different communities and with our different stakeholders, to base our conduct on the Waspeli principles. Often it is very difficult for us to do that as individuals, I think, in the sector, and do this well. We often do not show, we are often not as courteous as we should be, I think, to the people that we work with in the service delivery field, to the children that we have to work with. And as this is a challenge for everybody else, it remains a challenge for the children's sector too, but we keep telling ourselves that it is important to strengthen our conduct in relation to the Waspeli principles and to be able to put people first in terms of service delivery. On page 9 again, we then sat down to say what exactly do we want to achieve in 2007 to 2008, and in 2008 to 2009, and in 2009 to 2010. What we then agreed, Chairperson, Honourable Members, in that context was that this year, what we will focus on collectively as a sector, each one of us taking this broad strategic objective into our areas of operation. We said this year we will consolidate national children's rights capabilities to advance delivery on the constitutional mandate. That's what we're going to be doing this year collectively. Next year collectively, we said we will then consolidate as a sector children's rights achievements since 1994. So that we have a sense of where exactly we come from, where we are at, where we should be going. And we said in the third year, we will basing our work on the findings of the consolidation of achievements, challenges, and opportunities. We then would be able in 2010 to map out the strategy to advance delivery on the constitutional mandate. Measurable objectives are there and our indicators are there, and we indicate the related national priorities to the objectives that we have mapped out for ourselves moving from this year into 2020. We thought also in collectively we should talk to resources to say, If we say this is the strategy that we have collectively to implement over 3 years, where do we think resources for implementation of the strategy should come from? And we agreed that it would not be appropriate to go ask for resources and separate from the from our areas of operation. But the correct thing to do would be to take the objectives of this strategy and factor them and mainstream them actually into our ordinary work processes, work programs and processes, and in that way be able to budget for additional work within our work areas, if it is additional work within our areas of work, and approve, get resources approved for implementation in that session. With regard to organs of civil society, we acknowledge that we perhaps are increasing on their responsibilities in terms of the work that they have to be doing in their organization, individual organizations. And we acknowledge also at the same time that organs of civil society find it very difficult to raise funds. And this is why we then agreed as a sector that ORCs and children's rights focal points and departments at all spheres of government are also obliged to assist in mobilizing implementation resources for civil society partner organizations. So that's what we agreed to. Now, that strategy gave us a point of departure as different component parts of the National Children's Rights Program to say, when I get back to my office or to my area of operation, I will look at my operational plan in line with the sectoral strategy plan. If I need to make adjustments and further enrich my operational plan based on the sectoral strategy plan, that is what I would have to do. The National Children's Rights Advisory Council also agreed what we call sectoral performance targets, because we felt if we do not achieve certain things as a sector on an annual basis, we will not be able to measure how much we have achieved, how much planning influenced us to do better, and therefore to ensure continuous improvement. Our sectoral performance targets agreed by the National Advisory Children's and Services Council at the annual sectoral performance evaluation and training meeting in May this year are the following from page 11 to page 12. We looked at what departments must achieve. We looked at what provinces must achieve. And we looked at what the provinces would be overseas, we looked also at what civil society must achieve. And in terms of the departments, what we felt is important to achieve this year as a sector in departments was to ensure that we have in departments departmental children's rights focal points that are mandated by DGs to be departmental children's rights focal points. Up until now, who we work with as ORC in departments as children's rights focal points is not necessarily designed to be a children's rights a focal point. And I'll make an example to explain this. In social development, for instance, we find that there are different pockets of children's rights service delivery within that department. For instance, there's a unit that would focus on HIV and AIDS and children. There's a unit that focuses on early childhood development, another on street children, another on nutrition, another on poverty, and within that poverty context, also poverty and children. So another with grants, for instance. So we find there are several units within social development that work with children's rights. And often when we extend an invitation to the department for them to come and partake in national processes, the people who come are not necessarily people who are able to within that department, coordinate all the work that happens around children's rights in the department. So, for instance, we would have somebody coming in, but they focus specifically on, in their area of work, they focus on HIV and AIDS and children. But the decisions that are taken in the sector, in the advisory council, for instance, are such that this person, when they get back into the department, they must be able to coordinate all the work that is happening within their department around children's rights, and report on all the work that is happening around children's rights in the department, and be able to exercise oversight around children's rights in the department on what is happening in the different units. Now that becomes cumbersome if the structure is not designed to do that kind of thing and it does not have the authority to do that kind of work. And this is why then we are saying this year, with departments, it is important that we begin, departments assign and mandate children's rights focal points with the authority and the responsibility to do mainstreaming in the department, oversight in the department, and capacity building in the department. We have already spoken to Reverend Chikane around this, because he was going to assist us to talk to DGs in this session. He has agreed to work with ORC to facilitate that. Also, as the department, we are saying the department must look at inclusion of children's rights commitments in the department's program strategy and operational plans. And lastly, that the department departments that do not yet have forums where they consult with NGOs, we still have some departments that would work and do work, not necessarily consulting with civil society around children's rights in the work that they do, especially departments that are not necessarily children's rights related in the sense of direct work with children. Mineral and energy, for instance, is a department that does not work directly with children and would therefore not necessarily create space to consult with children's rights, civil society organizations around children's rights related to minerals and energy. But we are encouraging departments to then begin to establish a forum for consultation with civil society in the context of their mandate. So that's what we have to do at departmental level. Provinces, we also explain what provinces must do, and as I said, even organs of civil society. The intention is that on a quarterly basis, Chair, ORC will send out a template where everybody will report on progress in terms of the work that has to be done here, and this will enable us, therefore, to prepare quarterly reports and to prepare the midterm report, and finally to prepare the annual report in relation to this, and to see how we have achieved in this context, and therefore, if we have achieved well, it means we have strengthened children's rights systems in government, or sorry, in our society, in terms of, and to enable ourselves to deliver in a better way moving forward. So that is the National Sectoral Children's Rights Strategic Plan, Madam Chair. Now, taking from that document, ORC and all other key component parts of the Children's Rights Strategy was to base our strategy on the sectoral strategy. And this is what we have done. The ORC strategy is aligned to the sectoral strategy, except our strategy then focuses specifically on our work as ORC and not on everybody's work, but just on ORC's responsibilities. Page 5 of our strategy looks at who we are as ORC. We have a director in the ORC, a senior secretary, 3 deputy directors, a senior administration officer, a senior clerk, and every so often we find we have to secure additional technical support for specific projects. For an example, currently we are, as I indicated in last week in our meeting here, currently we are looking at conducting a survey, going to prisons and going to people who have been convicted for either rape of children or killing children or violation and abuse of children in different ways, going to different prisons to interview them and try to understand from them what drives them to do this kind of thing. Because we are all very surprised in the sector and actually concerned about the level of violence on children in our country, and we are saying we need to understand what goes wrong in our society that leads people to do what we are doing to our children. To do that kind of survey, we would need additional human resources and maybe even technical support, indeed technical support, and this is where this box where we say additional technical support would then feature in the neighborhood to do that, to bring in additional resources to help ourselves go through this particular project. On page 7, we also look at ORC on our broad vision, or base our broad vision and mission on the, because we are government in anyway, on the vision of mission of and government, on the national strategic objectives and national priorities. From page 7 to page 11, we stick to national, to broad vision and mission of government, national strategic objectives, priorities, and also to Batubili principles. So that's where we draw our base from in terms of what we say we have to do in the children, in the ORC. As ORC specifically, our strategy plan, when we mapped it out, our strategy plan came before actually the sectoral plan. Our strategy plan, when we constructed it it was a 5-year strategy plan. We are emphasizing on 2004, or we're starting at 2004 and 5. Simply because, Chairperson, honorable members, you will recall that in 2003, 02, I think 01, ORC was without a director for a while, so work was stifled in the ORC because there wasn't a director at that point. I came on board in 2004, and that's why we started at that point with a 5-year strategy plan. In terms of the 5-year strategy plan, when we started in 2004, ORC had neither a director and actually even staff to a very large extent. And our key result area at that point was to review and re-engineer the children's sector and ORC's operating framework to establish the necessary foundation for advancing children's rights delivering in South Africa. So we needed to re-strengthen, if you wish, and reconstruct the operational framework for ORC in 2004, which we did. And by the end of that year, we had a full staff in the ORC, and we had the revised core functions for the ORC, and we were ready to do the work. So in 2005, our priority as the ORC team was to establish alignment in the children's rights sector regarding the understanding and application of the revised sectoral coordination framework, which we did a lot of work on, and that sectoral coordination framework was agreed by the sector. We went province to province doing that, and it was talking to both government and civil society, and that was agreed. In 2006-07, we were going to look to develop tools for children's rights facilitated oversight, coordination, and accountability in government. And my report, year-end report, will look at how we have achieved in line with that. In 2007-08, which is this year, we will focus on facilitating simultaneous children's rights coordination and oversight in government and civil society. And in 08-09, we plan to harness all sovereign sites' experience and knowledge gained at all spheres of government into a single knowledge management system. When you look at what we say, it aligns very neatly with what has been said in the sectoral planning thing. And that then, Chair, is the ORC's strategy plan from which we draw on an annual basis, draw on when we map out our operational plan. This strategy plan, ORC strategy plan, is revised on a yearly basis. In January every year we get together and we revise this just to make sure that we change where we need to change and we increase where we need to make adjustments. Yeah. Now, our year-end performance report for 2006-07, Chair, Honourable Members, is based on the ORC's strategic objectives and core functions. And here we have a summary of the ORC's performance report for 2006-07. And we have packaged our report in line with our three core functions. Our first core function as ORC is to mainstream a child-centered governance approach. And in this context, our key result areas in 2006-07 was to... Oh, sorry. Year end report. Okay. Our first core function is mainstreaming of the child-centered governance approach. Our key result area in line with our strategy was to, in 06-07, to develop tools for children's rights work in government and civil society. And in that context, what we have seen done as ORC was to produce a guide for establishing ORCs at the three spheres of government as well as children's rights focal points in departments. And we realized that we did not have as government a guide to say if I am the DG in a department, what are the things that I need to look at to establish what are the technical elements that I need to look at when I establish a children's rights focal point. If I'm in the Premier's office and I'm the DG in the Premier's office, I also need to look at certain technical issues for me to be able to appoint a competent ORC, similarly in the municipality, and similarly at national level also, because we learn from our own experience to say we ourselves, because we did not have these other competencies, it was difficult for us as ORC to do certain things until we went out of our way to secure those competencies. So we looked at what is needed right from the presidency's ORC through to an ORC in municipalities, and that's the guide that we then produced. The second tool that we produced was a framework for children's rights work in municipalities, a delivery guide, a copy of which I am sharing with you today. Mainstreaming of children's rights in mandates of line function departments. Here, we then looked at different departments and observed that the Department of Education, Health, Welfare, Justice, work directly with children, and because they work directly with children, they tend not to have problems in terms of mainstreaming children's rights issues into their work. But we then looked at all other departments. For instance, the department, I use mineral and energy because we engaged a lot with mineral and energy. We look at other departments like mineral and energy and ask the question, what are you doing in relation to children's rights? And they were quick to say, we don't deal with children. But then we sat down and looked at their mandate, which is around energy and minerals. And we identified, in line with the line function, we identified the fact that it is important, for instance, when mines, in areas of mines, to worry about the impact of chemicals, for instance, on children, on the health of children, for instance, to also worry about what happens to children in areas where mine, in town, little towns where we close mines and suddenly parents are without jobs, there are no facilities that were enjoyed when the mines were available, what then do we do as a department? To also worry about energy and education of children at the back of the beyond in our countries, what do we do? So slowly we then began to see, actually, minerals and energy also has children's rights responsibilities within their line function, not taking them out of their mandate. And that's then what we began to put together to say, maybe we need to do something like this to guide departments to say, indeed, every one of us has a role to play in terms of children's rights delivery. The logical framework for simultaneous children's rights mainstreaming in government and civil society. Here, this is where we agreed with ORC exactly when we say simultaneous children's rights facilitation, monitoring and coordination in government specifically, in civil society specifically, and collectively as a nation. What exactly do we mean? So we did that framework. And then we also produced a tool to strengthen the understanding of government strategic agenda on children's rights. We also succeeded to create a partnership with SALGA and municipalities around why it is important for us to mainstream children's rights in IDPs. Lastly, within that area of mainstreaming, what we did as ORC was to input into children's rights policies the Children's Rights Act and the APSAS ECD program. The company has a corporate program where they are looking at early childhood development, and we sat down with them as APSA and influenced them to align that program with the national ECD program. And lastly, also, we worked closely with the Department of Education around the Farahano Gabana framework, which is the ECD program that focuses on 0 to 4 children only. So we did a work with them, some work with them also. In the area of capacity building, which is our second core function as ORC, our key results area in 2006-07 was to strengthen children's rights competencies at the 6th of government. What we did in that context was to conduct workshops to examine case studies that tested the impact of 2005-06 introductory training of work on of ORCs and on focal points. What happened is that in 2005-06, we realized that our ORCs in provinces, at that point in time, not so much in municipalities, we were not doing the same thing, doing much as we were saying we're mainstreaming and monitoring and evaluation, we were doing different things in our work. So we then realized that we needed to help ourselves to understand exactly what our work is. And we conducted in 2005-06 what we called an introductory training program into mainstreaming of a child-centered governance approach. The 2006-07 therefore saw a continuation of that, where we then presented case studies to say, having taken from the introductory training, what I did when I got into my province was to do 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. This is where I was successful. This did not work. And those case studies enabled us to see how information that was given was then used on the job and how it was successful and where it had challenges. And that helps us to continue to strengthen our knowledge around mainstreaming and monitoring and evaluation. And so we did that, and that we call that second level training using case studies. We also produced guidelines for the celebration of National Children's Day and the Day of the African Child. We go with these programs, events, Children's Day, Day of the African Child, from province to province on an annual basis. Different provinces host. So we realized that it was important, it was necessary that we had within that context guidelines that every province follows, that we follow also working with provinces in enabling them to host these events. So we did produce those guidelines, and we have standing guidelines now for that work. We also, in terms of capacity building, strengthened awareness on the importance of preventative medical examination of children in primary schools. By this, Chair, we mean last year we tested with in partnership with the Department of Health and the provinces. We were able to, within the National Children's Day program, we were able to make certain that every province brought about 20 children who were all tested on conditions like eyesight, hearing, dental care, physical fitness. There were five areas. And because the intention was, if we pick up any potential problem, that child should then be referred to for relevant attention in a public hospital. Mostly these children were from poor communities, because we felt children from middle class had parents who did that anyway. And most children who also came from Model C schools and private schools already had that kind of activity happening within the school system and happening where. But children in poor communities and rural communities did not mostly have that kind of thing. So we tested whether it is possible to do that, and we know now that it is possible to do that. And with the Department of Health, we then requested that they consider to mainstream that process into their annual work program. Also within that context, we looked at especially municipalities, poor municipalities, where we always find that children do not have recreation facilities, leisure facilities. We then said no, but we have something called indigenous games. Why can't we use indigenous games and create competitions around indigenous games and make certain that children also are active even in poor municipalities? So we tested that out also with the Department of Arts and Culture, Department of Sports, Department of Sports and Education, and that went quite well. I think what we did not do well in terms of that as ORC is to take that and in our work with municipalities this year, factor that into our discussions with municipalities. I think we need to do that. We did not do that. We haven't done that to date. Other than that, in terms of capacity building, ORC in 06-07 continued to offer technical support to provinces, primarily Eastern Cape and KZN. In the area of monitoring and evaluation, which is our third core function, our key result area was to enhance coordination, monitoring, evaluation, and communication of children's rights delivery in the country. And what we achieved there was consultations to finalize the text of sectoral children's rights system. As ORC, we struggled since 2005 on a system that would enable us at the press of a button in our computers that would enable us to secure information readily, that would enable us to report on how we are doing as a country, how we are doing on delivering the constitutional mandate, how we are doing in terms of delivery on the AU Convention on the Rights of the Child, on the UN AU Charter on the Rights of the Child, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, and the Millennium Development Goals. And it was a struggle, but we are at a point now, Madam Chair, where we have the consolidated indicators for what to look at to demonstrate that we are delivering on the constitutional mandate. So those indicators are there. We have indicators also for the UNCRC. We now have also indicators for the AU Charter. Our challenge this year is to consolidate all that into some electronic system that will then enable us to work with the ORCs around collecting data, to work with the departments around collecting data, so that maybe in 2 years or so, we should be able indeed at the touch of a button when the Parliament Portfolio Committee here says, tell us how we are performing in X municipality, that we should be able to do that around different areas of delivery. In that context of coordination, as I said, what we had achieved is that sectoral elements of the template and indicators, we have achieved that. We have also agreed with UNICEF to establish baseline data towards the development of a comprehensive policy framework for the protection of vulnerable children. We agreed last year. The process has already started this year. We also analyzed the process to compile the annual National Children's Rights Delivery Report. We found that our process for delivering the National Children's Rights for producing the annual children's rights report was not as good as it could be. And at the annual performance evaluation and planning meeting, we struggled around that, and we finally agreed on a process that we would follow as a sector when we produce the annual National Children's Rights Report. That the guidelines that we have agreed are such that they indicate to us how we would collect information at municipality level, how we would then consolidate that information at provincial level, and how we would at national level consolidate information within departments and also nationally as the whole sector. So those guidelines are now in place. And we are hoping we'll start using them at the end of the current year. We also enable government as ORC to submit a South African input into the global study on violence against children. And we also enable the government to deposit the second children's rights report with the UN. Now on the budget and how we have performed as ORC, we thought we should also indicate in this context that expenditure in the Office on the Rights of the Child is primarily on the following areas. We spend funds, our budget on program implementation processes such as communication, travel, accommodation, and so on. We also spend resources on program administration, such as documentation, venues and facilities, catering, stationery, and so on. On facilitation of civil society participation in national, regional, and international children's rights processes, we find most of the time that to ensure that civil society participates, we have to, in some instances, assist with traveling for them, assist with accommodation for them, and so on. Human or technical support, like I said, that column where sometimes we have to source additional technical support, whether it's consultants periodically, occasionally, so we have to do that. We also tend to spend our resources on facilitation of participation in national, regional, and international children's rights processes by children from especially rural and poor communities. When we do, for instance, when we did the global study on violence against children, we needed at some point to create space for children to come together and talk about that particular issue so that we get their input into their report. And to do that means that ORC should bring in the children, bring them into a central place from all over the country, make sure that we spend those 2 days or two nights with them working hard, you know, and that's where we also tend to spend our resources. And the National Children's Day and the Day of the African Child also. The National Children's Day actually is our biggest expenditure item. Last year we spent around 800,000 on the National Children's Day, and that's the figure around which we budget for the National Children's Day. And occasionally there are unforeseen opportunities to advance children's rights delivery in the country, and when these happen, we then, you know, use those opportunities to advance children's rights, and sometimes we have not even budgeted for them. So the following is a summary of our expenditure on the ORC's budget 2006-07. For children's rights mainstreaming and all the achievements that I have listed, we spent 1 million, 1,200,000. For mainstreaming capacity building, I think mainstreaming also was high this year because last year, 2006-07, because this was our first attempt also to engage municipalities as the presidency with minister support, strengthening, if you wish, understanding on the government's agenda on children's rights. Mainstreaming capacity building, we spend 1.3 on the achievements that I've already listed. And on children's rights monitoring and evaluation, we spend that much money. We find we spend less here because I think we're really busy with consultation, and the kind of work that we were doing was writing more than doing other things. Performance challenges that we have identified in the past year for ourselves as ORC are the fact that one, we are struggling for a children's rights point of entry in the Premier's office in Gauteng. Gauteng is the only province where we do not have an ORC, an operational point of entry for children's rights. We find that whilst all other provinces have moved the provincial children's rights focal point from the Department of Social Development into the Premier's office, Gauteng still has that in social development, and that tends to stifle monitoring in the province because it's difficult for a department to monitor other departments. It also tends to stifle coordination in the province by a department. It also stifles leadership in terms of the children's rights agenda in the province. So because of that, we then engaged Reverend Chikane around that, and he is working with us to intervene in that area. The second challenge that we have is differential children's rights systems in various tiers of government. What we found here is that the ORC in Eastern Cape is differently staffed, you know, has different staffing. The people that ORC National, for example, chairperson, honorable members, has the director, 3 deputy directors, administration clerk, senior administration officer, and a secretary. And OSDP and OSW have the same, are designed the same way. In the provinces, you find in one province, the person who's leading ORC is assistant director. In another province is deputy director. In another province is director. And they have one person or two people to help them. So that for us is a problem because it stifles delivery. at the three other spheres of government. And in this context, ORC has met with DPSA and requested that DPSA work with ORC to standardize the structuring systems of ORCs, and in fact, even OSDP and OSW at the three spheres of government. So that process has already started. Our other challenge is inadequate awareness in top management on sectoral performance targets for the year. And Reverend Chikane is working with us also to take this matter to FOSA so that all DGs are informed of sectoral annual sectoral performance targets. That was in terms of the institutional challenges. In terms of program, our challenges, Chairperson and honorable members, are that South Africa remain to be key issues in our country. Children living in poverty. We are not doing very well as a country in terms of interventions for children living in poverty. We are not doing well on violence against children, and this is why the study on our side hopefully begins to give us information that will enable us to program appropriately. Child-headed households remain an issue. Children living in the streets, children in prisons, children living with terminal diseases, including HIV and AIDS, school-based social workers. In a country where we have so many, where we have been so traumatized and have so many difficulties, we wonder why we do not have school-based social workers as a sector. And then children who travel long distances to school is still our reality. And in that context, therefore, in terms of contingency measures, we thought, as ORC, that the best way to zero in into these issues with departments that are responsible for this for delivery in these areas, it would be to partner with the Joint Monitoring Committee here, and as I said in the last meeting, in a manner where ORC National would facilitate that. Period, on a monthly basis or so, we bring in two departments, for instance, social development, for us to look at children, to talk, for portfolio committee to talk to them on what we are doing as a nation, as a department around children living in poverty. Department of Correctional Services, what we are doing, what are we doing in relation to children in prisons, and, you know, different departments for different issues. But to say ORC would recommend and would request that we work together in this session, that ORC organizes for the department to come in and answer on specific issues, because that will give the ORC the opportunity to indicate to reinforce on departments the importance of doing this, so that it's not only the ORC voice, but I think it would also give the Joint Portfolio Committee the opportunity to do monitoring and evaluation, which is what the Portfolio Committee must do. This has not been achieved, so our timelines, we were saying we would start with that process in April of as ORC of bringing in departments for different issues. We have not started yet. So the summary of key result areas and budget plan for 2007, so that's what we did in 2006-07, Chairperson, and those are the challenges that we picked up in that year. But in terms of 2007-08, again, looking at our expenditure areas on page 3, under number three, where we talk about where ORC tends to spend most of our funds in our different core functions. In line with that, page 4, summary of our key result areas and budget plan for 2007-08 are the following. In this year, we say we are going to focus on strengthening children's rights, mainstreaming awareness and systems in government, with special emphasis on municipalities. That's the work that we are going to do, establish district municipality ORC, establish district advice children's rights advisory council, consolidate the framework tools and systems for children's rights mainstreaming in civil society, working with NCRC there, approve printing and popularization of the national policy framework for the advancement of children's rights delivery in South Africa, children's rights delivery guide to municipalities, this is just printing, a departmental children's rights guide, directory of children's rights policies and legislation in South Africa. So with under the mainstreaming core function, we are going to spend 951 rand this year. Under capacity building, strengthening children's rights, mainstreaming, coordinating and monitoring competencies in ORCs and departmental children's rights focal points, what we will be doing this year, because we are establishing district ORCs, we will also have to do introductory children's rights training for the ORC, the district ORCs, municipality ORCs. We will also do third level training for provincial ORCs and children's rights focal points in departments. Finalizing our 3-year training program, which started in 05. This is the last year for it. We also, under capacity building, will develop a format for an accredited training manual on children's rights mainstreaming. We are partnering with SAMGI. Under capacity building this year, we will also, we are hoping that we will do the Children's Rights Advocacy Program with the Joint Monitoring Committee, and we are hoping the committee will agree that we do that together. This is where the department would be called in, would be facilitated to come in by ORC. National Children's Day and the Day of the African Child will take up that much. For capacity, under capacity building, we spend 1.7 this year. Under monitoring and evaluation, we are working with UNICEF. This is why our budget is so low, because UNICEF is going to come in with additional resources to finalize the comprehensive children's rights M&E template. But we think we are going to spend quite a lot of money here, as I say, the other funds come in through UNICEF. We are conducting a situation analysis on the status of children in South Africa, special focus on vulnerable children. Again, it's a low figure, but because we are also partnering with UNICEF here, and UNICEF is coming in with additional resources. I think with UNICEF, we have, within the UNICEF corpus, we have budgeted around 700,000 for this particular exercise. We will continue with the annual sectoral performance evaluation and planning meeting for this year. We'll facilitate the national advice, or the work of the National Advisory Council. And this year we are also producing South Africa's third AU, assessed AU and third UN Children's Rights Report. So in total, under M&E this year, we are M&E and coordination, we are spending 1 million. Our total budget this year, chairperson is ORC and SP allocation from the presidency is 3.8 million. Thank you. Lastly, chairperson, the Children's Rights Delivery Guide for Municipalities looks at, on page 2, the guide, just by way of introduction, just says to us or to municipalities that what is the children's rights responsibilities of municipalities are based on the constitutional mandate. So page 2 is just about introducing in that section. But from page 3, the guide looks at the rights of the child on column 2, the rights of the child to national identity, and we say we can't even talk about national identity if the municipality is not aware, for instance, does not have knowledge of the children, the child population in its locality. And to have knowledge of the child population in my local government, I would have to be aware of, for instance, the early childhood population in 0 to 4, how many children do I have in that area as municipality, the preschool population 4 to 6, primary school population, the high school population, where exactly these children are in my local government. We are asking this question because, you know, Chair, the issue of Torahano Gabana, which focuses on 0 to 4 children, says as a country we are going to reach out to all 0 to 4 children and make sure that they receive these children in childhood development. And we are told that we have approximately 4 million children in this country in that age cohort. However, often it is very difficult to find out where these children are, whether they are in farms, whether they are in the homes, whether we need to know where these children are, and this can only be done efficiently at municipality level, and this is why municipalities need to know about these kinds of things. And also, children have a right to survival and basic health. But for the department to be able to do, I mean, for the country to be able to do anything constructive to access basic health care, the municipality must know whether or not we have a clinic and hospital to cater for a number of children in the municipality, antenatal care systems, safe birth systems, postal natal care systems, home-based health support programs for children, right to quality. So this guide, when you look at this chair, says to municipalities, this is where we start. I have to start as a municipality to create baseline data in my local government. Because once I have that baseline data, I will be able then to make sure that children in my area of work or locality indeed do access their right to basic health care, right to education, right to quality life and infrastructure, life infrastructure, right to spiritual care, and right to social services, etc., etc. This municipality guide, hopefully, Chair, is going to enable our municipalities, therefore, to have a clear understanding of the population of children at local government, and enable us as a country, therefore, to be able to know at any point if we get asked in that particular municipality at the back of the beyond, how many children do we have, what exactly are those children, it should be easy for us to then give that kind of information. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for the presentation. I already paused for the meantime on the chair out. Hold on the race. That was really a marathon presentation. And we'll start to engage. I'm not sure we should not be PET on from which document we start. I think we shall just be open to ask and ask for points of clarity and questions. It's over to you, members, that we can start and engage. Yes, Comrade Louis.
Thanks very much for the opportunity, and also Chair Ma, I must as a Catholic confess again that I'm now impressed in terms of the the presentation itself, Chair, from the last time I attended the meeting where there was a presentation from the ORC, that now it starts to indicate to us that there is work in this area of children's rights, and that the office now at least it has now put itself on the track, and there is now tangible work that is going. Looking at the previous presentations and the manner that the content was communicated to us, I didn't have to read these four documents that she's presenting from, but just by sitting here and listening, you know, to this, I have a feel that we're moving forward. So I think with regards, now that I was not taking notes, I had lots of points to raise, but let me raise those that I still remember. One is that with the guide, Chair, I will check, or if it's not there, and perhaps make it a suggestion, that as they go to the municipalities, the social development, well, the government in general now would have the register. And hopefully as part of the guide to municipalities that you have put an emphasis that, or some work or some focus there that is necessary to help them with regards to this registration. Because this registration, Chair, I think it registers people who violate children's rights, and it's a localized thing in a way that the information feeding the register is dependent on people in the locality where the violations are taking place, and therefore as they go to establish the district municipality ORCs, the council, I hope that there would be this emphasis on really understanding how the register works, and we need to feed the register regularly. The second point, Chair, it's a broad point and a bit in general, but I raised it with UNICEF where they were presenting the work, where they had a presentation, I think, on their work in the country and their partners. That the children, they are not a homogeneous group. They are groupings within the children, despite the fact that they are equally vulnerable because they are children. But I think the ORC and the OSDP, and I think I raised this when the OSDP was on it, we need to see that there is collaboration between the two offices, in particularly with regards to disabled children. I'm saying so, Chair, because the OSDP falls short when it comes to disabled children, but also the ORC also wait, or they want to be led by the OSDP in as far as disabled children is concerned. The UNICEF itself admitted, Chair, that they really haven't put a concerted effort around disabled children. And I think it's quite important, Chair, that this should happen. Because there's very little development, and I'm also placing this within your capacity strategy, working with civil society, that in the disability children sector, per se, that sector is very weak. It's improperly coordinated as a sector. There are about three or four organizations in that sector. I even doubt that they are represented at the Aid Council, because they have problems, they have capacity problems. So I'm just suggesting that, I'm not even sure, I'm not even asking the question, if they are sitting at the advisory council themselves, if their interest is represented. And I think it's something we need to work at. But also, Maybe, Chair, an indication whether the council, the advisory council, is now an interdepartmental thing. It was just a collaboration between the ORC and the civil society per se. And therefore, there's been in the past, I'm not sure now, interdepartmental coordinating committee of some sort. I think there was one with the disability, I think with youth. I'm not sure with the ORC. And I'm asking that, Chair, because it becomes important to make sure that there is this streamlining that takes place. I'm saying so, Chair, for instance, because I have something that's worrying me. It might not be true, but I think it's true because people have complained. I've received some complaints from members of society. For instance, that the master's office. That the master's office has now decided that they pay to do it maintenance. That they pay now the monies for maintenance once a year or something like that. So that the parents had to struggle the whole year trying to get money to pay for school fees monthly and all sorts of things. Now, I don't know with whom they've discussed and agreed, the master's office, to say that that's the best way, or they're just talking to their own capacity to pay maintenance, and that it affects, children's rights and anyway. So I'm just saying that this collaboration would help to come to better implementation, of certain things, because I think that the master's office is not serving the children's interest. If this is applied nationally to a greater extent, that they are now only making payments once a year, just to suit their own capacity. Also to check with the advisory council, how are we working with the academics in terms of, because I'm worried about the research, but I'm glad that there is some analysis that's going on in terms of the status of delivery on children. But for instance, the presenter just highlighted about the problems of numbers and things. If there is work that's going on with the proper questions with steps, let's say, in relation to children and the census of children around there, and showing the proper questions that are asked in relation to this. I would come back, Chair, with in terms to others. I have one of a few questions that are emanating because I'm involved with the process of now the Section 76 of the Children's Bill. There are one or two or three things that I would want to clarify the way ORC is aware about, but I think for now, Chair, let me just give chance to others. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Thomas.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, this was quite a marathon presentation. Thank you. I just wonder, looking at these, sort of starting from the back first, the delivery guide for municipalities, clearly it's terribly important to get some sort of a database, and I just wondered whether Statistics South Africa are any use to you on that score as far as children are concerned, because they do regularly conduct surveys, and would it be an idea to approach them and ask them to for some specific answers to related to children as far as numbers and areas where children are, etc. I just wonder, when you look at this delivery guide for municipalities, it's very, very broad. It incorporates every sort of wish that one could ever hope for as far as children are concerned, from talent competitions to safe schools to clinics to sports facilities, and clearly every single municipality would have a different situation, and they would be able to fulfill some of these requirements, but many would not be able to. I mean, mine is a rural constituency, and there is just, in the one little town, I mean, there's no library, there's virtually no resources for children. And I just wondered, would you be, is it your idea to assist municipalities to prioritize drawing from this list what would be their first requirements as far as children are concerned? Because while I see that this does cover everything, I'm just not quite sure how user-friendly it is as far as municipalities are concerned. And whether there's some way of, you know, I always feel our constituency offices could be contributing a far, far more to databases in the school. And if there was a small sort of an approach to the constituency offices to the MPs to take to their constituency offices to provide for the administrator or the intern, if there is one. I have a wonderful intern who provides me with all sorts of information. But to ask us to go back to our constituency offices and just do a sort of broad survey of saying, what is there in your constituency offices as far as children are concerned? And to work with them, the municipality, during our constituency period, to try to assist with the database that you are requiring in order to be get a useful resource going as far as all of us are concerned. I'm just not sure how practically useful this guideline is, and I imagine that the same sort of thing exists as far as the departments are concerned, and are the guidelines that you are providing to the departments, are they coming back with anything that is useful? And then maybe we have received it, but do we have a copy of the second country report to the UN? Perhaps we do, I just don't know myself. And the South African report to the UN on violence against children, was that given to us as MPs? Because I think obviously they are extremely important documents that we should all be using as a basis to our work in Parliament, in our portfolio committees and study groups, but also in the constituency offices. I just wonder, when you say that your office in the Eastern Cape has different staff to the other provinces and it stifles delivery, I would just like, I don't even know where the office is in the Eastern Cape. I would love to be able to have that, a number or an address for that so that I can interact with the office. I mean, we should be able to assist the office and the office should be able to assist us on an ongoing basis. Thank you, Chin.
Honourable Gamidi.
Thanks, Chair. Now, experience has shown us that as government, we really do have good policies and good programs. But in most cases, if we are to be realistic, we have found that we always face some challenges on the implementation. Now, the first question would be, I've gone through this document and I heard a look even at the organogram. Literally, there would be four people that are driving this program, the director and the deputy director. The others are administrative staff. Now, to handle such a big program, do you really have capacity? If you are just to give an honest answer that, you know, the four people would have the capacity to talk to this program. Quite a big program, very good one. And the second question, just in this round that I would ask, would be, I see, is it in a delivery guide on page 4, when you talk of education. Now, as a guide, I don't think the early child development program is mentioned, because we might talk of other things. We might have talk of challenges that we have in education in later years. But there are children that start to see a teacher a little bit later than others. That's because you're not concentrating on early child development. I saw somewhere it was mentioned the great R and so on, but now in this delivery guide, it's not going to the municipality. There's a possibility that this, it could be included, because I believe we need to concentrate there. I'll stop there for now, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I too have many, many, many questions that I would like to ask, but I will keep it to the second round of questions as well. But thank you for your presentation, and I think it's much better now as we actually have documents in front of us, right, in front of us now. But just about one concern, on the agenda, if you look at our agenda, it talks about the annual report for and financial report of 2005-2006. Okay? So I'm happy with what you presented, but my concern is that the agenda does not mention the 2005-06. I don't know if you do cover that, because obviously it would include 2004 as well. So I commend what has been done and all and so forth. But according to the agenda, it's 2005-06. That is the one concern I have. But I'll ask my other questions and we take our second round of questioning. Thank you very much. Over to you, Ms. Nantla.
Thank you, Chair. The Honourable Member spoke about, or made an input actually, with regard to child registers at municipality level. I think indeed I would agree with that. It's an omission in the municipality's delivery guide. I think it's an important thing to include. Thank you, we will include that at municipality level, that register actually starts there, because it is what comes out from municipalities that then will give us the national register. Indeed, thank you for that input. We will update the delivery guide. Children are not a homogeneous group. Indeed, ORC and OSGP work together when it comes to children with disabilities. ORC actually takes the lead in terms of work around children with disabilities, and OSGP gives us technical support in terms of that. When we do all national processes, for instance, we always have in our children delegates children with disabilities also represented. And when we do that with in partnership with OSDP and an organization called DCAC. So we work very closely with DCAC. I guess I'm just telling the story to say we acknowledge that children with disabilities do need special attention and special preparations from our side, and special efforts on our side. And we, as a matter of principle, when we do work with children, we take all that into cognizance. The Advisory Council, GCAT, yes, this is in our National Children's Rights Advisory Council. And the Advisory Council is not only, is a structure composed of organs of civil society and government structures, meaning departments, overseas, and municipalities. So it's quite a huge forum, which meets twice a year, sometimes four times, depending on what issues we are pushing as a sector in a year. But this is where we all meet, and we struggle with common issues, and we take common positions on certain issues around children's rights. The issue of the master's office, for instance, and maintenance grants. And honourable member, this is why actually ORC is proposing that we work together with the joint monitoring committee, because in instances like this, where there are concerns around those, our responsibility would be to bring in that structure with the appropriate competencies into this meeting, so that the Joint Portfolio Committee is able to then ask the right questions, because they are responsible for implementation in that area. They would be the right people, therefore, to then tell us why, to tell Parliament why they have taken those kinds of decisions, what the dynamics that emerge from that kind of decision, how the dynamics that emerge from that kind of decision are going to be resolved and addressed by that particular structure. So indeed it would be a concern for ORP to if maintenance was going to be given out as a lump sum on an annual basis, because the ramifications of that decision are quite deep in terms of impact on the child's needs. STEP South Africa, we indeed work very closely with STEP South Africa around any research study that we do. For instance, the research in prisons that I was talking about, STEP South Africa was involved. The situation analysis, STEP South Africa is also involved in that particular program. So we work very closely with STEP South Africa. Honourable member asked if information in STEP South Africa can begin to give us the baseline data that we need to have around children's rights. Indeed, quite a lot of information that comes from STEP South Africa does give us some form of baseline information and data. Our problem, having worked and sat down with STEP South Africa to look at the kind of information that they already have, is that most of the time, information in South Africa is not disaggregated to say for children, for people with disabilities, is not disaggregated. So I think we are currently now talking about disaggregating data within South Africa as it comes into South Africa. Moving forward, I think we will begin to see that. But for now, it's a struggle to extrapolate from existing data, what would be child-specific data. Yeah? We try to use that information, but it's not as accurate as it would be if we had disaggregated the data. The delivery guide being a broad document that may be very difficult to deal with if we don't prioritize. I think the ORC's view was that because we are a country struggling with development, it is important to have an understanding and see the big picture in terms of what children's rights delivery should be in a municipality. Right? So this is a big picture thing. But we do acknowledge that, and we also acknowledge that most of the things that we are talking about here are already happening in municipalities. We are trying to say, let's consolidate and make package our work and our achievements in municipalities in a manner that enables us to know what we already have, what we still need to achieve. So this is said he's kidnapping, that we hope is going to help municipalities to consolidate, but he used that information then to plan ahead and prioritize for us, for themselves, to say it's going to take us 10 years to achieve all these things. But to get to that 10 years, on an annual basis, as this municipality, we will start, we already have this. Next year we will, you know, increase incremental achievements until we get to our 10 years. So that's what this document is meant to do. report to the AU, to the UN, to report. I don't remember us sending them down to Parliament for members. So, Honourable Sam, an honourable member, I think when I get back to the office, I'll make certain that you receive the instructions. I don't think you do send them. Along with contact details for ORGs nationally, I think we should send that information also, because I don't think we have sent it listening to what honourable members said. Any plans with development? Honourable Member, in this document, I think we kept it at a different place, not within education. But I do agree with you that the basis of education is any kind of development. So I think we are like-minded in that question. Policies and implementation. The question was, we have good policies, we struggle with implementation, which is a fact. And does the stuff that we have in ORC, is the stuff we have in ORC sufficient for us to do the work that we must do in the country? As director of ORC, I think what we are struggling with at the moment is to say, how do we make certain that what we have works as such, works to the best of our ability, and see if we do that, see how much we can deliver and how much more we need to do that. I think I feel, we can do better in terms of planning, time management on our side, and working hard, purposefully all the time. Because I think if we did that, we could, even with what we have achieved quite a lot, considering that we work through ORCs in the provinces, we work through ORCs in municipalities, and also we work through departmental children's rights focal points. So I personally wouldn't be hurried to say ORC national should be given more resources. I would say let's strengthen ORCs in provinces and let's strengthen ORCs in municipalities more quickly as government for us to achieve what we want to achieve in the country. I use Eastern Cape as an example. Because Eastern Cape is one of the ORCs that we believe as ORC national that is doing quite well. It's based in Bishop's Story. Chairperson, about the budget. I have a letter from Parliament which says, dated 22 May, which says we are requested to brief the committee on health budget and strategic plan for financial year 07-08. So that's why I actually started with 06, because I was doing the NDA report 06 and 07, and then I also referred to 07-08. So I presented 06, 07, 07, 08. I did not go that far. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. I will do a follow-up. I would like to ask now my question. I really want to understand why is it the challenges that you've mentioned on page 400 on the year-end performance report,
yes,
where you stated that in Gauteng, the challenges, the lack of children's rights point of entry in the Premier's office, it established in all the other provinces. What is really the difficulty in establishing it in Gauteng? I would have expected that to be the first province to have a children's rights focal point. So I think, but the JMC, do you think you will need the assistance of the JMC to get this established? I'm also really interested in the school-based social worker. My understanding from the schools of the deaf, they are cutting down social workers in the schools. The reason for that is the subsidies that they are given to the schools, because those subsidies are really for the teachers, that they can appoint a social worker. But because it's specialized then for the educators, then they do not appoint the social workers. Because they also have a social worker in the district office that do travel to those different schools with disabilities. In school, including schools that does not have disabled children. So that really makes their area very large. So do you mean those social workers, do they need to be based in the schools, or do they need to be based in those districts where they will be traveling to those different schools? Do those schools have their own social, or do you want every school to have their own social worker? Interesting. I attended the SAMAC meeting yesterday, the South African AIDS Council, where they have a children's sector that is represented on SAMAC with four representatives from the children's sector. How do you work with SAMAC on HIV and AIDS related matters? I attended the civil society meeting yesterday, but the general SANEC meeting includes government and also the Office of the Presidency. Are you attending those meetings? If those general SANEC meetings are happening? And then your report on municipalities. I'm happy to say that the rights of environment is taken care of. But what we are seeing in the real poor areas, and those bad kept areas, where children and where electricity, where electricity cables are lying around and the children are electrocuted, and the drains are not closed, children are falling through those drains, those areas. What are you doing in relation to make sure that the environment and the playing areas are really safe and secure for children? And then looking at the health matters, that there's no mention of immunization. So because if they are not immunized properly, then they are, it leads to disabilities. So I think, and why are you not covering that area as well? And I'm going to stop with my questions. I'm going to give over to other members. Honourable Member Louis, you said you would keep one question. Do you want to ask it now? You can have some tea while we're having this meeting.
Just First one is the following up on your question on the budget. I had a question on the budget, but for me was more on asking if the, in terms of the MTF, if not the detail, if the budget is increasing. She may not, if she hasn't looked into, is it just an inflationary increments that are happening, or there is based on the strategy itself, and the budget is increasing on the basis of that, or it's just a stagnant budget according to these activities. Also, Chair, in relation to the celebration of the National Children's Day, to say that are there any campaigns? I know there is this taking a girl child to work. I'm not sure if it's a boy something, but there's those type of campaigns. Are they part of the such other campaigns that are there, and perhaps just to indicate to us if they do participate in those. She did mention something around the child-headed household. I know that the children's bill is now saying that 15-year-olds will be allowed to be caregivers. With no high responsibilities, I may call them, like signing of medical consents and receiving of grants or something of that sort, but that they would now be allowed to say that, you know. Obviously, Chair, it's something that is being discussed, and I think civil societies, they are good at these technologies, these scenarios, and then push them through government as such, you know, because obviously this term itself, child-headed household, my question is that, have we looked into the impact of what we're trying to do when we now introducing in law, you know, or formally in government, through a legislation, for instance, that says child-headed household. It's an anomaly.
Mm.
And we have to keep these things because NGOs, and I'm not talking because NGOs are not supposed to do this, but because NGOs or civil society are giving us this terminology, and sometimes they keep them into business, you know, to do something. So, I am worried about, you know, just this term, child-headed household. It is a reality in South Africa, of course. They give us tens of thousands of these, 50,000 at the most, of these child-headed households, but that's because of a family breakdown, as far as I'm concerned, you know. The breakdown of the extended family, and perhaps as people get into work, there's no time to look after children because they've got to survive because of poverty and such. To say then, if this is enough, there's sufficient understanding that an analysis is done in terms of the usage of this term, that it's not perpetuating, and it would not encourage, you know, children to break away from. Of course, we are trying to put in that there should always be a supervisor, an adult supervisor, in this instance, but that can cause problems. Related to this as well, Chair, is the fact that the children's bill itself is introducing it's collapsing all the centers or the structures of the structures that used to run certain children's program. Your reformatories, schools of industry, shelters for the street kids. It's collapsing them it's now program based more than institution-based, in a sense that they are now going to be called child and youth care centers. And in that, because you were mentioning the prison, in that the children that are in conflict with the law supposed to be part of this main center where everything, including street kids, including children that that are supposed to be in secure care facilities, and the general therapeutic and general children's services, to say that when she was saying that they were part of the submission, there was this ORC satisfied that this is the right way to go. Because I think there were issues about, we understand when that there is a consensus around now the leaving this term, cancelling usage of the term shelters for street kids, that they are not supposed to be in shelters, supposed to be proper facilities and that type of thing, and there should be a program that's relevant to them and supporting them. That's to understand the issue. The worrying point again, Chair, for me, I'm not sure, I think the ORC would have to work with us again, Chair, but we may need to do research on this or some analysis. Chair, access to justice by the disabled children. We're still sitting with a situation that says a case, a disabled child reporting rape or anything of that sort, for now, it's difficult to be a winnable case for that child. It's unlikely that child would get justice as is now, because it's not strong enough even in the law. She mentioned that part of the, I think your directory would be looking into the legislation and I think policies and programs, some of that sort. To say, Chair, that my worry is that I hope that we will be able to detect the gap, and if there is a need for an amendment to the Criminal Procedures Act, that Chair, it's something that we need to consciously look at. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Gamedi.
Thanks, Chair. At least for a start, I must say, I would acknowledge, even though it would surprise that to hear that at least the staff in the ORC will be covered. Normally, you wouldn't hear people say, hey, we are enough. Normally, you'd hear that, you know, if you could get some additional staff, one or two. But at least, which means then we have moved the step forward, which means we are covered. Now, one other issue, I think we would have these problems and these questions because we deal with our constituencies. And hence, then, this guideline actually helps the delivery guide for municipalities. But then the relationships, I think we would need to be specific, more especially with Home Affairs, because that is where life begins and that's where it ends. And for children who cannot do these things on their own, they will rely on other people. So I think we need to be talking or saying something about Home Affairs, even in the delivery guide. We have got a program of birth certificates. So that we could include in our programs, in our plans, these campaigns that together with Home Affairs, that we assist children to get these birth certificates, so that in your right to social services, when we talk of access to child support grants, they do have these certificates. So I think it's one area which I think we need to emphasize, so that when we talk to communities, we say, when we talk on intergovernmental relations with municipalities, this is one key issue, because that's the beginning of life. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chalmers.
Chairperson, thank you. You know, one of the realities of life in this country at the moment is the influx of refugees that have come across our borders. And the children are bringing in with them quite large numbers of children who are here through no fault of their own. And I know that in Port Elizabeth, for instance, there are Somali and Zimbabwe refugees in quite considerable numbers and with children. And I just wondered whether ORC has some sort of a policy position on assisting in any way, because they are children. There's a lot of suffering going on in those dispossessed kids. Thank you, Chair.
Any other hands? No, none. So I'll resume the turn.
Thank you, Chair. And the housing ORC. Chairperson, I think in housing the decision taken by the Executive Council, I'm not sure but the decision taken by the Executive Council to give the responsibility of children's rights, provincial children's rights work to the Department of Social Development is what got us where we are in terms of a problem or a challenge between ORC and the Premier's office and location of the ORC program in the province. And that's what we are struggling with at the moment. The other provinces, for some reason, found it quite easy to shift from social development into the Premier's office, but Gauteng is struggling with that. So indeed, Chairperson, the ORC would appreciate the JMC's support, whatever support we can get to rectify that particular situation in housing, because we do know that it is very difficult to do the kind of work that ORC does if you are located in a department. You must be located in an office where you can draw from the executive authority of that office to do the kinds of things that we must do. So indeed, we would really welcome that, and we would propose that we be assisted if the Joint Monitoring Committee can help us in that. School-based social work. Our nation is going through a whole lot of traumatic experiences almost all the time for some reason. Maybe it's because we are in the first phase of our liberation. And for children, I think it is even... These changes and traumas are too much for children. A simple thing like the strike that is happening now, you know, the children have been very traumatized from different areas. And they go back to school next week or whenever they go back to school. There's no social worker who is going to focus on their trauma as children. We're going to go start teaching like nothing has happened. And our position as ORC is we can't continue to do this. It's not helping us. And then because we get surprised then later on child violence in school. Children, I think they take out this trauma in different ways. So this is why for ORC, school social workers are very important, Madam Chair. We do acknowledge, though, that we are a country also struggling in terms of resources and capacities in different fashions. Therefore, we can't, and with the many schools that we have, perhaps we can insist that every school must have a social worker. But we would like to insist that we construct our resources in a manner that enables children in every school access to social workers on a daily basis or on a bi-daily basis, but quite frequently. So maybe that the logistics is something that we can work out with considering our resources. But in terms of school social work, we think it is an imperative in a country like ours. Our work with CANEC, within the advisory council, we have different technical teams. One of the technical teams is led by the Department of Social Development. It is called NACA, the National Forum for... Anyway, I'm not sure of the meaning of NACA and all, but NACA was constructed because at the General Assembly, I think in 2002, UN General Assembly in 2002, it was agreed that countries, nations would establish forums, interdisciplinary forums, that would look at the issue of HIV/AIDS and its impact on children. And social development in our country leads that initiative. That is the technical team there. On that forum sits both civil society and a government led by social development, as I said. In that forum, that is the forum, therefore, within the technical team that has translated into a technical team for children and HIV/AIDS in the National Children's Rights Advisory Forum. So it is a subcommittee, if you wish, of the National Children's Rights Forum. Now, that committee is who sits on SANEC, and they work closely with us as the National Children's Rights Advisory Council. So that's our involvement with SANEC, Chairperson. In terms of inefficiency sometimes or negligence in at municipality level, negligence that then gets children into hateful situations, like for example of the drains that are sometimes open and children fall into the drains or some drain pipes that are not marked and children get involved, you know, children drown in some water pipes and etc. I think that's where the monitoring and evaluation role of the ORC comes in. Our responsibility is to be able to say, out of our monitoring and evaluation process, Municipality X, we find in your area that this is what is happening and it is endangering children. But for us to do that efficiently as ORC National, it means ORC Municipality must do its work, and it means ORC Province must do its work, so that there's a lot that will fall between the cracks if the whole system relies on ORC National. That is why for ORC National, it is critical that we strengthen municipalities and provinces so that they do that work, and then in that session, we will be able to capture what is happening that should not be happening in all municipalities around our country. Immunization of children, for instance, falls within the same situation, that ORC province, I mean local, must be able to say, have we immunized our children? Why haven't we immunized our children? Because then ORC National will know, and we will be able to help each other to sort out the problems that we must sort out. The budget increase, honorable member, on the ORC's budget, I'm not able to tell at this point whether the basis of our increment. Our budget is increasing, but I'm not too certain whether it's inflationary-based increments or whether any other format is used. But the presidency on an annual basis, it has increased our budget allocation. Taking the girl child to work, whether ORC is involved in these processes. There are quite a number of processes that ORC agrees with, that we feel are processes that are happening out there by civil society, that we are not necessarily involved in, with, even though we endorse them. With regard to the take the girl child to work program, for instance, ORC in the presidency is encouraging managers in the presidency to bring a child to work. We don't say girl child because we feel both the girl and the boy child need this exposure. So we just say let's bring children to work on that day, and we do encourage that it be any child. It should not necessarily be the girl child. Because we believe that as a country, much as we must emphasize on the girl child, it is also important to make certain that our children all get the same opportunities as best we can moving forward. The issue of child-headed households is one of the key concerns in the ORC. We have gone to a point where we looked at a number of initiatives or interventions around child-headed households and came up with one module where the NCRC, the Department of Social Development, national and provincial in Limpopo, the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund and UNICEF got together to test out an approach to addressing the issue of child-headed households. And what they did was go into Bushabela in Limpopo, and they planned to reintegrate children living in 50 child-headed households, because it was a pilot, 50 child-headed households into extended family systems. You were right, Honorable Chair, when you said the issue of child-headed households emerges from the fact that something went wrong in the family. Because as Africans, when me and my husband pass on, necessarily the family sits together and they say, children, Malume so-and-so will take care of the children. But we found that, it was found that in this context, that did not happen. We struggled, the process struggled to understand why exactly that didn't happen. And it came to light that the extended family, so Malume was saying, we are so poor, I don't know what to do if I were to take you in, my children. So that's how it happened. But we then looked at the many policies that we have in the country. Housing has the low-cost housing thing. Education has the free, no-fee facility. Health has the access to facility by poor families. You know, there are existing resources that we could tap on. So that process then taps on all those resources to strengthen the extended families. The extended families, and the extended families were then able to reintegrate, to take in the children of their deceased relatives. And what was interesting in that process, Chair, was that actually the relatives were also saying they were feeling so bad that the children of my sister, this one uncle says, my sister's children are staying there alone when I know I should be taking care of them, but simply because of poverty I can't do it. So they also felt enabled to do their kinship, to meet their kinship responsibilities when we did that kind of exercise with them. And so I guess I'm telling this story, Chairperson, to say that model has since been about 4 weeks ago, we went back to social development as ORC to say, let's revisit this model, let's strengthen it as best we can, but let this be the model that South Africa uses. Instead of saying children must be given, 16-year-olds must be given responsibilities of adults. So that's how we are responding to this as ORC. The same applies for children living in the streets. We insist that children living in the streets, as a country, our first priority is to reintegrate the children with their families. Access to justice by children with disabilities. I think ORC, we have not really looked at this in this session to check if children with disabilities have less access to the justice system than your normal child. But we will look into it, Honorable Chair, and hopefully be able to get a full picture of what the situation is that in that context and what interventions we have to put in place to make Honorable Chair, when I said ORC, I believe we should do the best we have with what we. I didn't mean ORC does not need. I think I was misunderstood. I think from our point, because remember in our structure we have that little box which says each time we need additional support, we have the capability to draw in additional people and additional technical competence. I think for us, that's a redeeming facility or arrangement. And this is why for us we felt if resources could more strengthen municipalities and provinces, maybe we can look at ORC national later on. Home Affairs indeed is key to the delivery guide. We will find space for it in the delivery guide for municipalities. Refugee children, Honorable Chair, as ORC, our position is that our constitution, the AU Charter, which we are signatories to, and the UNCRC Convention, which we are signatories to, actually indicate that any child in South Africa at any given time, must be assisted to access their universal rights, which is education, health, etc., etc. Our challenge, I think, as ORC, is the fact that we currently do not have monitoring systems that enable us to go into the refugee children's situation and see if that is happening or not, and therefore to advocate and push within government for delivery for children in that context. Thank you for raising this. We will revisit it as ORC and see what to do in it with it. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chalmers, to follow up.
Little point. I think it's great to see the big picture, which is what you are describing, but it's when you start telling us about the little pictures that ORC really comes alive and seems to us, to be doing the sort of job that one would hope for. And I think it might even be an idea to bring out a report that does give examples of where the work you are doing actually becomes a reality, and to gives us an idea that the vision that you are hoping for is actually happening on the ground, even if it means that it's social development that's done it, but it's done as a partnership, and I think that would be a very helpful thing for ORC to consider. Quite a pamphlet or a small glossy little book that says this is how we are trying to make a difference to the quality of life of children.
Okay, it seems like there's no more comments, there's more questions, so we do need to wrap up as well. But before I do wrap up, I do want to say that I think we need to follow up, as members were saying, on the second report to the UN on the status of children in our country, the second report. I think it was in the last parliament, we did receive a report, but not the new members now, because you need to realize what is in that UN report. And then secondly, I want to repeat as what I said to last week, and when Honourable Chalmers again brought up, where are the ORC offices in the provinces, and in the municipalities, maybe provide us with a list of those ORCs within the provinces and in the municipalities, so that, for example, members can actually go visit those ORCs within the in their constituency time. And as Honourable Thomas is saying, contact details as well. Then again, JMC would like to thank you once again for an in-depth presentation. As members were saying, it gives us the, you know, the big picture regarding the small little things that have been done on the ground, and what, as I was saying, the small little things that has really made an impact on the work. But it also gives us a big challenge that lies ahead. So thank you very much once again for your presentation. Before we close, may honourable members, and before you leave, we just want to say to you, please remember we've been invited to the Disability Summit, and the JMC has been invited on the 4th and the 5th members of July. The 4th and 5th of July, if I'm correct. We do have a few names of members who have indicated that would like to attend. I'd like us to approve that now, please. We will be allowing 6 members, which is actually 4 from the ANC and 2 from the opposition. But for some time now, opposition members have not been attending. So you need to guide me here if all 6 of us of the ANC, if we can all go, because all of us can go in, you know, with that not been attending. So myself, I will be attending. Honourable Andrew Mandela has asked and made a request that he would like to go. Honourable Louis will be attending. Honourable, then we are asking our Deputy Chair, Honourable Ramedi, if you will be attending? No. Okay. Now fine, then they ask, they still, Honourable Elizabeth, you also, it's the 4th and the 5th of July in Sandton Convention Center in Johannesburg. That's right. Okay, that's fine. We members will just pay for their transport, I mean for their flight, but the OSDP is, will be paying for our accommodation as well as for our meals. It's just for us to use our vouchers to the flight. Then I'm glad that you will be attending, because I'm the other woman, you're the other woman attending as well. So it will be the 4 of us, Honourable Andrew, Honourable Louis, Honourable Chalmers, and myself attending. If we don't hear from the opposition parties, then do you give me the, do you then allow me just to decide as to who, give me the mandate as to who I can ask from the ANC to attend? Is that what members are going to, is that okay? Now, fine, I will check with the opposition to see if they are available. If they are not, I will then go to the other members to see from the NCLP then. Okay, so thank you, members. Thank you for your attendance, really. And thank you, Mrs. Rantla. I think you want to make a last comment.
Thank you, Chair. Not a comment, a request, if I can, please. That the portfolio committee please consider the cooperation that ORC is proposing of departments coming to the portfolio committee along the, with regard to the issues raised. So that we can maybe in that way advance delivery. Thank you.
Yes, we've already started the committee and staff, and I actually sat down and looking at the Department of Health asking them to come here. But I will call you myself. I intend calling you, and then just you know, to look at the finer details as to what specifically we needed to do in that regard. So I will meet with you or make contact with you as to what we need to do, because I know that there are many questions that members will ask in general, but if you can give us more specifics on that matter as to what we need to ask for the department. And obviously when they do come, we obviously want something from the ORC to be present here as well and to assist as well. if that is okay with you. Thank you. Honorable Louis, yes?
No, thank you. My proposal, Chair, would then would be that the ORC can, because we're working on the program now to finalize the draft, that they, say, for instance, indicate the pressing ones to you as they get back to say which of those, so that, because, Chair, there would be different emphasis when we are just inviting, say, the education department, and perhaps it would be difficult then to call ORC at that time. So unless we work on something that we now know, that at least we will have Justice Department, we will what I'm saying is that let them guide us in terms of what are the pressing ones, so that we put them on the program, and then we know that that one is a joint program with the agency. That's the proposal, Chair.
No, fine. Thank you for that proposal, and I think we do accept that proposal, and I think it's also a working relationship with the ORC as well, identifying those urgent departments that we need to call. No, fine. So once again, thank you, honorable members, for your time and your patience, and coming for this, to this committee. So meeting is closed, adjourned. Thank you very much, members.
Thank you.